ప్రేమస్వరూపులారు,
ఎంబాడిమెంట్స్ ఆఫ్ లవ్.
శాంతి నీ లోపల ఉన్నది కానీ బయట లేదు.
పీస్ ఇస్ విదిన్, నాట్ అవుట్ సైడ్.
అవుట్ సైడ్ నో పీస్, ఓన్లీ పీసెస్.
Saram, dear listeners, and welcome once again to Outside Inside Deep Inside. Today we continue our series on the Vrindavan campus of Sri Satya Sai Institute of Higher Learning. On June 8th and 9th, you're going to have the Golden Jubilee celebrations of this campus, which Bhagwan started 50 years ago, 1969. In this hour, we have been listening to various beautiful moments of learning that Bhagwan granted to hundreds of students and teachers of this campus over these decades. Apart from the teachers and students, some of the very, very devoted souls who were in the Vrindavan campus, like Mr. Rama Brahmam, like Mr. Professor Narendra, they were the pillars of inspiration, ideals for all the students and teachers. Swami had brought these souls to be as mentors and as lampposts for all the students. Today I'm going to share with you the story of Mr. Rama Brahmam. Before, on different occasions, we have shared with you the story of Mr. Ram Brahmam in bits and pieces, but today I'm going to play for you a talk that I gave in the Satsang Hall, which was dedicated to the life of Sri Rama Brahmam. In the coming episodes, we will definitely listen to more such exalted life's stories, because these are the stories which will inspire us to walk on this path with determination, with courage, and with devotion. This happened way back in the 80s. Mr. B.D. Jatti was the Vice President of India. Bhagwan was in Vrindavan. In those days, Swami used to spend a lot of time in the Vrindavan ashram. In fact, in the 70s, 360 days out of 365 days he used to spend in the Vrindavan ashram. One evening, you had Mr. Jatti come to the Vrindavan ashram seeking Bhagwan's audience. It was already the time when Swami had retired. It was past 6 p.m. But the Vice President said, "I have to see Swami right now. I have an important matter to discuss. I want to return tonight itself. So please go and inform Swami, and I want to have his darshan right now." Mr. Rama Brahmam was the caretaker of the Vrindavan ashram. No one had the access to Bhagwan's quarters except Mr. Rama Brahmam. He was the manager of the ashram, he was Swami's secretary, he was secretary of the ashram, he was like the warden, he was like the caretaker, he was like the supervisor, the CEO, the gardener, everything of the ashram. And everyone went to him. They said, "The Vice President has come. Please tell Swami. Swami really need to give him attention."
Mr. Ram Brahmam said, "Swami has already retired. I am sorry. There is nothing that we can do now." They said, "Come on. Do you know whom you are talking to? The vice president of the country. He has come because of some important concern. It is not some X, Y, and Z." He said, "Does not matter whoever you may be. Swami has retired and I cannot disturb Swami now. That's it." He said, "Do you know what the consequence will be? Do you know whom you are dealing with?" He said, "I don't matter. It doesn't matter to me whatever be the consequence. The people of the ashram told Mr. Rama Brahmam, please understand, even Swami might be upset with you tomorrow. Someone has come who is one of the most respected persons of the country. Tomorrow, what if Swami is upset with you? It is your job to inform Swami that a person of this stature has come seeking his audience." He said, "It is Swami's instruction to me that after he retires, I should not disturb him. And I should not do it, and I will never do it." Now everyone were at their wit's end. So they asked him, "Okay, now what is the solution? The vice president is here. He has to go back. You are saying you will not go and tell Swami. We cannot go directly and tell Swami. So what is the solution?" He said, "I can think of only one solution. The Sairam shed is there where Bhagwan gives darshan. So you can ask him to sit there and chant Sairam, Sairam, Sairam. He can chant. This is what you are asking the vice president to do?" "Yeah. And that's what everyone does. That is the only way you can connect with Swami. So what is so strange about being someone, being a peasant or a vice president? You have to sit under the tree and you have to chant Sairam, Sairam." So he was like the Hanuman. No one could breach him and go to Swami's quarters. So absolutely clueless. So that's what ultimately they had to do. So they went to the tree and they sat there, Mr. B.D. Jetty and his team, and they didn't know how to deal with the situation, how to deal with this person. And that's what they did. They sat there and they started thinking about Swami. A few minutes passed and then Swami himself called Rama Brahmam. And Swami said, "His vice president has come. Call him." So, the master's instruction, what is of interest to the master is what is the most important thing for me at any point in time. I cannot ever think about my master's inconvenience. I may be put to any amount of inconvenience because of it, but my master's inconvenience can never ever be an option. My master's interests come first. My master's interest is important. After that comes anybody else's interests and their importance. My master is priority one. Then comes anyone else and finally comes last. And that last is me. Initially, when Mr. Rama Brahmam joined the Vrindavan Ashram, so Swami had given him this charge of being the manager of the ashram. And one day Swami called him, and at that point in time he was in the kitchen. So he was holding a water jug, a thermos flask. So when Swami called, so he thought he will go in, keep the thermos flask back, and then report to Swami. So in 2 minutes, he went to Swami's presence, and he stood there, and Swami also looked at him very quizzically, as if, why are you here? And he is like, Swami, you called me. Just now you called me. And Swami said, I called you? No, I called you then, not now. I called you then. So that is something that hit Mr. Rama Brahmam. And a few days later, coming from an agricultural background, Mr. Rama Brahmam used to look after a lot of fields, used to look after the Gokulam. In fact, he used to call this Mother Earth as black gold. In fact, it was he who persuaded Bhagwan when Mrs. Ratanlal Amma gave to Swami 1 lakh rupees way back in the 60s and said, Swami, please do buy clothes and food and serve the poor. It was Mr. Rama Brahmam who went to Swami and pleaded, Swami, we can buy land, Swami, with this. We can buy 25 acres of land, Swami, and from that land, Swami, we can grow crops, and with those crops, we can do any number of Narayan Seva, Swami. Please. Swami said, no, who will look after all these lands? Who will look after the fields? So Swami, I will do it, Swami. He was past 50, he was almost 55, 60. He said, Swami, I will do it. Swami kept quiet. The next day, again he pleaded, Swami, please, Swami, let us use this money, Swami, let's buy this land, Swami. Swami said, okay, go ahead and do it. And that is the land where the Sri Sathya Sai Institute of Higher Learning Vrindavan campus stands today. It is the pure love of a devotee, where he kept God's interest first, where his inconvenience, his discomfort meant nothing, where he always thought what will be good for Bhagwan's mission, what will be good so that there is Lord's glory, what will be good so that there is benefit for larger humanity. So a few days later, when he was working in the field, Swami sent Mr. Rama Brahmam to the fields to give sweets and clothes and to the people there. And as he was returning, he suddenly slipped, and it was as if someone just lifted him, and he quickly came to Mandir because they said that Swami is calling you. So he reached Mandir, and then Swami said, what happened? He said, nothing, Swami. I just slipped, Swami. Swami said, you know something? There was a ditch there. You were about to fall. At that instant, I lifted you so that you can come now and be in my presence. If I would have delayed even a microsecond, you would have fallen in that ditch. But when I ask, you take your own time to come. You know, when we want God, God is there immediate. But what God wants, we always procrastinate. How many instances are there in our life when just at the nick of time we caught the train, nick of the time we were in time for darshan, nick of the time your son was saved from an accident, nick of the time your mother was saved from a fall. How many times it has happened that just the last day the application card came? How many times it has happened that the last bus you caught? If you have to think about it in the night, every day, just think about all the things that we have gone through during the day, how many misses could have happened? How many times, thanks to circumstances, it just happened. Anything could have happened and I could not be sitting here today talking. Anything could have happened and you could not be sitting here today and listening. So many things invisibly, inscrutably, mysteriously have fallen in place so that the current moment is happening. Because someone is orchestrating it. So Swami says, when we want, even when we forget to think of Him, He is there immediate. But when God wants, we always procrastinate. Ah, yes, we will. You know, there is time. First let me sort out my career. You know, first let me sort out this. Let my son get admission, you know. After that, I will do Swami's work. Promise. I will every day go and do Narayan Seva. Just I need to get this promotion. Once this promotion happens, you know, then my financial condition will be perfect. Then I will go and, you know, I will start that new project and I will do this seva. I know of so many people who thought that Swami anyway is going to be here for another 12, 15 years. So they said, let us earn money now. You know, we will save. And now, when Swami is in His 90th year, I will come and settle down in Prashanthi Nilayam. So that the last 5-6 years I will enjoy Swami. So they missed coming all these years. And they kept saving the money. And saving and saving. What is the use? If there is one thing that we should not postpone in life, it is related to God. I know of someone who became a neurosurgeon thinking that he will come and serve in Swami's hospital. Let me first earn and save and then I will come and serve. Who knows what will be your condition tomorrow, whether you will be alive, whether every moment that you have got, please use it. You don't know. If you have utilized this moment properly, maybe tomorrow there will come a moment which you can actually make it glorious. So, Mr. Rama Brahmam learned that when we want, God is there immediate. How can I at any point in time procrastinate what God wants? How to live a life so that God is priority one? When we give God priority one in our life, when we make Him priority one in our lives, then we become priority one for God too. We become priority one. We are always priority one, but we don't realize it. We begin to see how we are indeed priority one for Him. So when He was in the Vrindavan ashram, one day Swami called Him and said, Rama Brahmam, your wife, she talks a little loudly. Yesterday I heard some noises. It was okay, Swami. The next day, He took His wife and dropped her in the village. And so Swami asked, where is your wife the next day? No, Swami, I have left her at relative's place, Swami. Swami said, why did you do that? I did not tell you to do that. He just kept quiet. One more day passed. Swami asked, where is your wife? He just kept quiet. 3 days passed and then Swami said, Rama Brahmam, if you don't get your wife now, then you will be sent out of the ashram. Only then he went and got his wife. For him, like, even if it is my wife, but if it is causing inconvenience to Swami, they were staying in Swami's bungalow in the ground floor. Swami was in the upstairs. If it is causing inconvenience to Swami, I don't need anything. When we attach ourselves wholly to God, God also attaches wholly to us. We experience that attachedness with God wholly. He will make our life whole. He will make our life complete. There will never be a time when, you know, you will feel, oh, I am feeling so alone, I am feeling so lonely, I am feeling so incomplete. It will never happen. Because, you know, there are times when you are in the midst of 100 people, but still you feel incomplete. But there are times when there is no one with you, but still you feel so complete. You might be having 500 Facebook friends, but still you feel, I don't have one real friend. But if you are in the presence of that one complete person, you always feel complete. So Rama Brahmam is someone who understood these facets living with the Divine Master. Another day he got this invitation card from his home. It was the wedding of his granddaughter. So he presented that card to Swami. It was still a fortnight away. So Swami said, "Oh, manchidi, manchidi, very good. Your granddaughter's wedding, you should go. She loves you so much, you should go." He said, "Yes, Swami." So a week passed. It would take at least 2 days for him to reach his hometown, Vijayawada, in those days. And already it is 8 days over, 9 days over, but Swami didn't mention anything about it, so he just kept quiet. Finally, 2 days are left. I mean, if he has to be there for the wedding, he has to leave. And Swami already said, "Yeah, you should go. My blessings are there." But now Swami is not saying anything. He said that 15 days ago. Maybe Swami forgot. Did he forget? Should I remind? Should I write a letter? What should I do? Or should I ask someone else to tell Swami? You know, this is what we constantly think. Swami, he can, you know, so many things he has to do. Obviously, how will he remember everything? 2 days are left. And Swami didn't say anything. So Ram Brahma also didn't do anything. 1 day is left. Still there was nothing from Bhagwan. And life was as usual for Mr. Rama Brahmam. On the day of the wedding, that morning Swami comes out for darshan and Swami says, "Hey, Ram Brahmam, you didn't go? You didn't go for the wedding?" I said, "Swami, if you really wanted that I should be there for the wedding, you would have told me. It is obvious that you don't want me to go for the wedding, Swami. This is perfect with me." Swami looked at all the people around. Swami said, "This is the sign of a true devotee." You know, absolute faith that he is my best well-wisher. He is the omnipresent, omniscient one. He knows everything to the last detail, what should happen when. He is that cosmic consciousness. It's not that he thinks and he forgets. He is that will. The very energy to think is he. He is the origin of the thought. So how can it be that anything escapes him? To live in that conviction, to live in that awareness, to live in that secure feeling that it does not matter. Okay, if he wants, he can actually even change the marriage. Just like Krishna asks Arjuna, "Is that a peacock?" And he says, "Yes, Swami, it's a peacock. Is that a sparrow?" "Yes, Swami, it's a sparrow." "Is that a pigeon?" "Yes, Swami, it's a pigeon." And Krishna says, "Are you mad? Do you have any sense? Tomorrow is a war. You're going to fight the Kauravas. And today I'm asking you what the bird is. And you're saying, whatever I'm saying, you're saying yes. Don't you have this much of discrimination? How are you going to fight the enemy?" And that is when Arjuna says, "How does it matter? What is important is not what I am seeing. What is important is what you are saying. Because what you are saying can become what I am seeing. If Swami wants, that marriage may be postponed. If Swami wants, that marriage may happen tomorrow here. Anything can happen. But to have to live in that conviction, to live in that awareness. And especially when you're living with a physical master, when he's all the time deluding you with the human aspect of his personality. that masterpiece of a devotee was Mr. Rama Brahmam. And how Swami crafted this masterpiece is a masterpiece of a story by itself. So way back in the 40s, Mr. Rama Brahmam was the son of a successful landlord near Vijayawada. His father could not educate him because his father, even though they were rich, but in those days to have higher education, it really needed a lot of money. We are talking about almost pre-independence days, 1940s. So his father had four sons and he decided that he will make the eldest son a lawyer. And the rest of the sons were into business and agriculture because they had a lot of lands. So Mr. Rama Brahmam was helping his father and slowly he picked up the nuances of working with nature. And then there came a time when he could start his own little business. But at the same time, his brother was having problems with his business. So he thought, instead of me starting my own business, why don't I go and help my brother? So that's what he did, and in no time, that business flourished, and the brother Venkat Subbaya, his name was, and Mr. Rama Brahmam, together they built a very successful business empire. They had a rice mill, they had a theater, they had three kinds of businesses. And it was going very well, and after a while, when the brother became a little older, he wanted to move on in life, and so he wanted to divide his property. So he had four sons, so he split his property and gave every son one-fifth, and the last one-fifth he gave it to Rama Brahmam. So Rama Brahmam noticed that this brother has distributed his property into five halves and five portions, and but he's not kept anything for himself. How is he going to manage? So what he did, 50% of that one-fifth that he received, he gave it back to the brother. He said, no brother, you keep this. That is the heart of Rama Brahma, even though it was he who had built that empire along with his brother. This is something that was natural to him as a person. And then slowly he moved on, and after the brother closed down his business, he started his own cultivation and his own little businesses, and he was doing very well. And it was at this time that he heard of a relative. They had gone 25 kilometers from Vijayawada to a place called Venkatra Pagada. It was a function, family function. And there he saw that one of his relatives, Venkata Ratnam, had become a Shirdi Sai Baba devotee. There was a Shirdi Sai Baba temple there. And he started narrating about his experience of going to Shirdi. He was a railway guard, so he had some privileges, he had some passes, so he could go to Shirdi. And he started talking about how peaceful he felt going to Shirdi and the miracles that he had heard about Shirdi Sai Baba. And the most amazing thing is, he did not have children, and after he returned from Shirdi, he was blessed with a girl child, and he named her Sai Talli. Talli means mother in Telugu. And so all this struck a chord in Rama Brahmam's heart, and He felt a certain pull towards that temple. And since it was 25 kilometers away, he started visiting this temple often. He would spend the Dasara 10 days there. He would spend the Ramnami 10 days there. He would, whatever profits that his business would make, regularly he would contribute. And his business was doing so well after he started visiting there. See, it was only prosperity. And after he started going there, now that desire came that, you know, I have to go to Shirdi once. And that's how, so sometime in 1948, he along with his son and his wife, they went to Shirdi. And he was so happy being in Shirdi, having Baba's darshan, reading about his miracles. And he came back, his heart full, and his home now an altar of Shirdi Sai Baba. He named his company as Sairam Tobacco Company. He was a very good agriculturist. He was to grow jowar, peanuts and everything. But then that was a time when, you know, someone said that if you grow tobacco, you will get a lot of profits. You know, at that point in time, you had our tobacco being exported. You had the East India Company and all that. So he started doing that just like any other person would do when it comes to business, whatever would fetch more money. And that business was going on very well. And as this was happening in 1948, 49, his love for Shirdi Sai was growing. And Shirdi Sai had like occupied him. He used to always do puja at home, visit this temple, long to go to Shirdi. And sometime in 1953, he had come to Madanapalli, which is about 170 kilometers from Anandapur. A relative was sick. And as he was returning, he heard that in Hindupur, there is Subramanyam Shashti. There was a temple there and there was a big function of Lord Subramanya. And what used to always accompany this festival is a bullock cart fair. And since he was an agriculturist, he knew that here there were very good bullocks available. So he thought, anyway, I've come all the way. Why don't I go to the bullock cart fair and pick up 2-3 good bullocks, which will help me in my business. So he was on the bus from Madanapalli to Hindupur. And as they were crossing, the bus was loaded. You know, in those days, you had such meager transport facilities. There was only one bus, and that bus used to be packed. It would be crowded, and in those days, people would bring everything into the bus. There would be luggage, sometimes there would be animals. Everything would be packed into that bus. And so he finally got one place to sit in the back, but there was no place to move. It was really packed inch to inch. And then he started overhearing some conversation. You know, they were few kilometers away from Puttaparthi, and there was this group of people who were sitting in the front, and they were talking about Swami, they were talking about a Sai Baba, and they were talking about Puttaparthi. And he thought, who is this Puttaparthi? Who is this Sai Baba? I know of Sai Baba Shirdi. And they are talking about such amazing things. And he was really waiting to talk to them, but he could not really get out of his seat and even talk to them because the bus was loaded. And he was thinking, what to do, what to do, how to know about this person? Because everything sounded so amazing. And right at that point, suddenly the car tire punctured. And so everyone had to get down the bus. And now he thought this is a golden opportunity. So he went to these people and he asked, you know, you were talking about Sai Baba. Can you tell me about him? You know, who is he? Where is he? And once they started telling about, you know, he's Sai Baba. He's the same. He has declared that he is the same Shirdi Baba who has come again. And he does these miracles. You know, he's cured people. So all those stories filled him with so much of awe, wonder and curiosity that he forgot about his bullock cart fair. And he asked, how do I go to Puttaparthi? He said, no problem, you go to Mudigubba and then you go to Bokapatnam and then you can go to Puttaparthi. So that's it. He got on from the bus and he started taking this bus route to how to come to Puttaparthi. So Kadiri and Mudigubba and then Bokapatnam, and in those days obviously you had to cross the river and walk for miles in the sands to reach Puttaparthi. But that interest was so much So he reached Prashantanilayam, he reached Puttaparthi, 1953, and as he is entering Prashantanilayam, he is stepping into the Gopuram gate. In those days, you know, where the main gate today is, the main entrance of Sai Kulwant Hall, in those days there should be one small gate. He stepped into the gate and on the opposite direction he saw Bhagwan coming, and Swami said, "Hey Ram Brahmam, you have come." He's like, "What? Who is this person? First time I'm stepping into this unknown land. This person seems to know me through and through. He knows my name. He's talking to me as if he's known me for years." And he was very surprised. And Swami said, "Why are you surprised? Ram Brahmam, you don't know me. Hey, every day you do worship, no. Every day you worship Shirdi Baba. I'm only that Shirdi Baba." He's like, "Oh my God, who is this person?" He's just speechless, he's unable to think. The whole experience was so astounding. Unknown land, unknown place, unknown person, and everything is like a fairy tale. And so he decides to stay on for a few days, and he sits for darshans, and he sees that when Bhagwan comes for darshan, you know, he cures someone of tonsillitis, the other person had appendicitis, and Swami just goes and touches him and he's healed. He talks to someone else and he says how Swami solved their business problem. He talks to another person, he says how Swami solved their family problems. And every time he sees him, something happens to him. And he now longs, how can I go closer to him? How can I also get something, you know, some blessing from him? And then he hears all these people, they say that, you know, you can do Pada Puja. In those days, opposite to the interview room on the other end of the mandir, the room used to be called the Pada Puja room, where Swami would allow devotees to actually do Pada Puja. In fact, it was a standard practice, and outside shops would have Pada Puja packets, so there would be incense, and there would be kumkum, and there would be vermilion, and there would be rice, and so flowers, and so you had the opportunity to actually take a plate, and you know, Swami would place his feet, and then you can worship Swami's feet, Pada Puja, and then Swami would shower you with blessings. So this is something that every devotee in those days craved for. And so he thought, why not I also do this? So he goes outside and he purchases his Pada Puja packet, and then he gets an opportunity and he tells Swami, "I want to do Pada Puja." Swami gives him the chance. Now when he's there in the Pada Puja room and he's serving Swami, and as he's offering these rice and kumkum at Bhagwan's feet, after a few minutes of the puja, when he raises his head to look at Bhagwan, he is stupefied, because what he sees is his beloved Shirdi Sai. And that one moment sealed it for him. He knew he was in the presence of the one whom he has been worshipping, of the one whom he has bequeathed his heart to. And that was such a strong statement of who Swami is, that there was no looking back. Shirdi Sai Shankara Prithivihari Shankara. Shirdi Sai Shankara Prithivihari Shankara. Shankara Abhayankara Bhavabhayahari Shankara. Shankara Abhayankara Bhava Bhayahari Shankara Paramatma Shiva Shankara Pavana Purusha Shankara Paramatma Shiva Shankara Pavana Purusha Shankara Satya Swarupa Shankara Satya Sai Shankara He Satya Swarupa Shankara Satya Sai Shankara Shirdi Sai Shankara Pratibihari Shankara.
So he returned to Vijayawada very happy, very blissful, very contented, very complete. He has found his God, he has found his Lord. And once he returned, it was only happiness which was multiplying. His business flourished. Now he started exporting to Belgium. He now named his company Sri Satya Sai Tobacco Company, because everything was going on so fantastic. And 1955, 1956, there were many incredible experiences that happened during these years, through which his son also got transformed. And in 1958, suddenly he was down with a particular type of pneumonia. And his health went down. He was over 50 now. And many people thought that he may not survive. In those days, you did not have advanced medical facilities. So many people thought the writing is on the wall, he's not going to live. And so there were these people who want to take advantage of this situation. There were all these creditors, people who owed him money. They started defaulting. They started stealing those vouchers which said that they owed this money to him. And many things went wrong. The money that was supposed to come from his export business was delayed. And suddenly he found that his wealth is slipping away. And it was at this time when his financial condition was a shadow of what it was 4 or 5 years ago. He was almost living the life of a king. He had a Ford car, he had 2 horses, 25 bullocks, and now suddenly he found that one by one everything was slipping away. And it was at this time that his sister comes and says, "Please get my daughter married to your son." Dama Brahmam Sir's son was Nagabhushan. He had 3 sons. Nagabhushan was the second son. In 1956, they had decided about this marriage. And at that point in time, his financial condition was very sound, so it was all set. But now he felt that given his precarious condition, he said he will not be able to do the marriage. He was not sure about the marriage, but his sister insisted, "No, we had agreed. You know, it doesn't matter even if, you know, your financial condition is not so healthy. It doesn't matter, you know, let us do the marriage." But Mr. Ram Brahman was not comfortable. He didn't know what to do, so he came to Swami. And Swami said, "No, you call your sister, I will explain to her." And Swami told Ramanamma, his sister, "See, currently it is not good for Rama Brahmam to get his son Nagabhushan married to your daughter. There is that other alliance. You get your daughter married to that other alliance. I will perform the marriage. I will bless you. Don't worry. I will look after everything. Go ahead with that marriage. So given Swami's assurance, his sister was agreeable. And that marriage happened. And that couple is living very happily. They moved on to US. And after Rama Brahmam returned, he saw that now his financial condition became from bad to worse. It came to a point where people were after him. He had forget getting the money that people owed him. Now people were demanding money from him, from left, right and center. Everyone wanted to take advantage of his situation, and now he did not know. It was such an uncomfortable situation for him. He did not like that position to be in when people are asking money that he owes money to people. It was very, very terrifying feeling, very uncomfortable feeling, because you know he was such a rich man. He did not like this feeling. So he said, I don't want all this. So he just sold his business. He sold everything. He sold his car. He sold his business. And he was just disgusted with life. So I don't want to do anything. There was only one small plot of land in his native village, and whatever earnings came from that, he said, I will survive on that. And he came to Swami. 1959. Swami was in Vrindavan. But at that point in time, Vrindavan Ashram had not come into being. 3 kilometers away from the Vrindavan Ashram was what was called Nandanavanam, which was the place where Bhagwan used to stay in 1959. So he went there to have Bhagwan's darshan. Where the current Vrindavan Ashram is, there was an old bungalow there, and it used to be called Mohan's Palace. And the owner of that palace was Goginani Venkateshwar Rao, and they were relatives of Rama Brahmam Garu. They were all very rich people, but suddenly Rama Brahmam's condition had become precarious. So because they were relatives, so when he went to Vrindavan, he was staying in the Mohan's palace, but Swami was in Nandanavanam. So every morning, he used to go from Nandanavanam, from Mohan's palace, which is current Vrindavan, to Nandanavanam, 3 kilometers away, where Bhagwan was staying. And Swami used to fill him with so much love. Swami used to wait for him to come in the morning. There was no transport in those days. You know, we are talking about Bangalore in 1950s. It was all forest. We are talking about Whitefield. It was all forest. No transportation, no communication, no facilities of any kind. No autos, no buses. So he used to walk that distance every morning. And Swami used to have breakfast with him, have lunch with him, he have dinner with him. And in the evening, after he dines with Bhagwan, Swami used to walk with him all the way just to drop him back. Because you know, in those days, it was forest area and there were dogs and all that. So Swami with a group of devotees would walk him back every evening. 3 to 5 kilometers he would walk and just leave to just drop Rama Brahmam at Vrindavan. So this happened for like 10-15 days. In fact, it is because he stayed in Mohan's palace that the owners of Mohan's palace came to know about Bhagwan, and after he left, these owners started going to Nandanavanam for Bhagwan's darshan, and then slowly they expressed their desire to offer that bungalow to Swami, and Swami in exchange gave the Nandanavanam property to them, because they said, Swami, that is good for us because we can have our factories there. And Swami moved to the old bungalow, and that is how the Vrindavan Ashram actually came into being. In some ways, he was instrumental in the coming up of the ashram, or of which later he became the manager of the ashram. And so in 1960, after he spent time with Bhagwan, and that was the time when he said, you know, Swami, I don't know what I should do. Should I start a new business? What should I do? And Swami said, no, the time is not good for you. Don't start any new business, I will tell you what to do. And so he returns to his hometown, living on that meager income that he was getting from his little plot of land. 1961, there were two alliances for his daughter. Incidentally, after he went to Shirdi, he also was blessed with a daughter, and he also named his daughter Sahita Lee. So there were two alliances, and he was not able to decide which one would be good. Both were promising. And his son said, "Father, why are you worried? Why are you in a dilemma? Just go to Swami. Every time we had a problem, Swami always has guided us." So he comes to Swami, and as he is stepping, now he comes to the Vrindavan ashram, because by now Swami has moved to Vrindavan. And as he's entering Vrindavan, Swami says, "Rama Brahmam, what? So you have come with two people?" And he says, "Swami, no Swami, I have come alone." "No, no, you have come with two people, no?" "No Swami, alone only I have come." "What is there in your bag?" "Two people are there." "No, two photos. So there were two photos of these two alliances for his daughter's marriage. And he asked Swami, "What should I do?" And Swami says, "Don't do this marriage now. Currently your financial condition is not good. You ask your wife and your daughter to come to Vrindavan. You also move to Vrindavan. You stay in Vrindavan with me and you look after the ashram." So that's how in December 1961, he moved to the Vrindavan ashram. 1962, his son Nagabhushan, he was working in Kerala, and Swami told him, "See, his health is not good." Swami told Mr. Rama Brahmam, "He's not able to adjust with the food there. You ask him to come to Vrindavan and stay with you. Let him assist you." So Nagabhushan comes to Vrindavan. After 2 years, Narayan Rao, the third son of Rama Brahmam, he starts a business in Guntur, and he says, "I need the help of Nagabhushan. I need the help of my brother." So with Swami's permission, Nagabhushan returns. In January 1964, he goes to Guntur to help his brother. In May 1964, few months after this, Swami fixes the marriage of his daughter, Sahita Lee, about whom Swami had said 5 years ago, "I will do the marriage." So 1964, Swami arranges the marriage, and in Puttaparthi, Swami fixes everything. Swami does all the arrangements. And for this marriage, Nagabhushan also comes. And after the marriage is over, so someone needs to go with the bride and bridegroom to leave them to Vijayawada. And Swami suggests that Nagabhushan should go with Sahita Lee. He should go along with Rama Brahmam's one older daughter. They should go and leave the bride and bridegroom in the village. So that is what was done, and Swami instructs Rama Brahmam to return to Vrindavan ashram. Swami comes the next day to Vrindavan ashram, and on June 3rd, 1964, just 2 days after this, Swami tells Rama Brahmam that morning, Swami calls him and says, "Rama Brahmam, your son has died. He passed away. Now, don't tell to your wife. Take your wife, immediately do the tickets and go to Vijayawada and perform all the last rites." Rama Brahmam, he heard this from Bhagwan. There was absolutely no expression on his face. For him, it was like an instruction. What Swami has told me to do. So he goes home, he tells his wife, "We have to immediately leave to Vijayawada. There is some important work Swami has asked me to do. So we have to immediately pack up everything." He books a ticket. Next day, he's in the train. Imagine, it is his second son, a young son. Perhaps he was in his 20s or 30s. He has died. And Rama Brahmam, Swami told, "Your wife should not know about it." So throughout the train journey, you know, he pretends as if everything is normal. He goes out, he gets his idli, he gets the food, and his wife is constantly asking, what happened? Why are we going? He says, no, we will know. And nothing to give anything away in his emotion that anything that serious has happened in his family. And once they reach there, when the wife comes to know, the wife breaks down and he starts crying, why didn't you tell me? Let's go to Swami, we have to go to Swami right now. He said, Swami only told me. Please calm down. And so immediately after the rites are done, they come back to Vrindavan, and his wife cries and all that. And Swami says, his time was up. That is the reason why, in fact, when Nagabhushan came for the marriage, Swami called Nagabhushan and Swami said, hey, you are here only for 4 days. Why are you spending time gossiping and, you know, spending time with the relatives? You come and stay with me. So those 4 days, Swami spent breakfast, lunch, dinner, full time Swami should spend with Nagabhushan. Those 4 days of the marriage, it was basically merger of Nagabhushan with Swami than the marriage of Saitali. It was like that. And on the fourth day, Swami instructs, let Nagabhushan go. And then Swami says, I wanted that he should pass away in your hometown. That is the reason why I sent. And where did he go? He has come to me. Swami takes him into the interview room, and there she sees his son in a vision with Swami. And only when she sees that, that's when she is pacified. And Swami says, you have your other sons, no, look after them. Nagabhushan is with me. But the most important thing in this anecdote is, look at the stoicness with which Rama Brahma followed Swami's instruction. There were 4 or 5 commandments that he used to always mention. Anyone who wanted to serve Bhagwan, he used to say, first and foremost, you should know that Swami is God. He knows everything at all times. There should be absolutely no doubt about it. He may joke with you, he may play with you, he may pretend as if he does not know anything. He may become very casual. He may ask you what is your name, but know that he is God. Second, whenever he asks you to do anything, any instruction, just follow it meticulously. Don't put your logic and reason, your convenience, don't interpret it as per your convenience. When he gives an instruction, just do it to the T. If you are in the ashram, don't think you are here to do a job. You are here because that is your property, that is your home. Work with that sense of commitment. Know that you are here because that is your place, that is your home. Think like that and work. You are not here to do a job. And never take Swami lightly. You can never ever know when will be your last moment, when will be your last minute with Swami. Your luggage should always be packed with that much of alertness and seriousness. You must do Bhagwan's. And if you are doing Swami's work, never go to Swami with asking for any personal favors. If you are doing Swami's work, know that he will look after you. Come what may, he will look after you. Never ever have that doubt. In fact, in a very beautiful letter that Swami had written to Rama Brahmam, in those days, whenever Swami used to travel, Swami used to write letters to him, updating what he had seen, where he had visited. And Swami in that letter had written, did I ever forget Sakubai, who yearned for me with tears streaming down her cheeks, praying for just one darshan of me? Did I ever ignore Tyagaraja, who prayed for me wandering from street to street, chanting my name and singing my glory and longing to just see me once? Did ever Mirabai, who used to weep ceaselessly and pine to merge with me, did ever Mirabai fade from my memory? O Rama Brahmam, this Sai, who is aware of all these, will he ever forget you? Will he ever leave you? Wherever you may be in the forest, you may be in the sky, you may be in the mountain, you may be in the village, you may be in the town, you may be in the top of a mountain, you may be in the middle of deep sea. Know that, be assured that your Sai will always protect you. Be assured that your Sai will always protect you. I will never forget you.
Hari Hari Sumiran, Hari Hari Bhajo Man, Hari Hi Mero Tan Man Aur Dhan. Tulasidas Bhaje Ramam Ramam, Mera Dasi Bhaje Govindam. Hari Bina Jeevan Kaisa Jeevan, Hari Charanan Mein Tan Man Aur Dhan. Hari Charanan Mein Tan Man Aur Dhan.
It was the time that Swami had gone to Ooty just for 4 days, and it was Rama Brahmam's, perhaps the last leg of his earthly sojourn. He had become very weak and he had developed a lot of weakness, and because he was a diabetic, he needed a lot of help to walk. This was in the fag end of his life. Swami had asked one brother, Malikeshwaran, who is still now working in Swami's hostel, to look after him. And in the nights, Mr. Rama Brahmam used to visit the toilet many times, because generally he used to have this frequent urination because of his diabetic problem. So this Malikeshwaran was a light sleeper. So the moment Rama Brahmam calls, he would wake up and he would help. And this is how 2 days passed. And on the third day, for some reason, when Mr. Rama Brahmam called out to Malikeshwaran, somehow Malikeshwaran had already slept. For some reason he did not get up that day. And when he called up, he called Abbai, Abbai used to call. And at that moment, suddenly he saw that Swami was there sitting next to him. And Swami took him, Swami kept his hand around him, Swami took him to the washroom. After he finished, Swami went to the toilet, Swami flushed, Swami brought him back to his bed and chatted with him till it was morning. And in the next day, Rama Brahmam told this to this boy, you know what, Swami came. And this boy thought, this Rama Brahmam, every time he'll keep talking Swami, 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 full time he keeps thinking about Swami, so obviously it is some hallucination. What else he will think? Only Swami he thinks. So you would have felt something, some imagination. On the fifth day morning, when Swami came, as soon as he saw Malikeshwaran, Swami said, Emra, what boy? You made me clean the toilet also. And only then it struck him.
Then he went and he prostrated in front of Rama Brahma and he said, I'm so sorry, I did not believe. He told, it doesn't matter what is there. God is everywhere, but a good devotee is rare. And when God finds a good devotee, God longs to be a servitor of that devotee. God looks for a chance to serve that devotee. God wants to lose in the battle with such a devotee. That is what purity can do. That is what absolute faith can do. That is what absolute surrender can do. God's triumph does not lie in him being invincible. God's triumph lies in making his devotee invincible. And that is the reason why he's kept Hanuman right at the top. And in the feet of Hanuman you have Shiva and Buddha and Jesus and all the other gods, Krishna. The greatest victory to the Lord is when the devotee rises up to become greater than the God himself. That's why Swami used to always say that I'm only looking, I'm searching. And when he finds a devotee, the Lord wants to become a servitor of that devotee. That is the power of pure love to the lotus feet. And I think so. That was the story of Mr. Rama Brahmam, the servitor of the Vrindavan Ashram, right from the 60s. So we'll continue this series in the coming episodes, where we'll bring you more stories of people who have studied there, people who have taught there, and people who have served in the Vrindavan Ashram. Thank you so much for being with us through this journey. If you have any queries or comments, as always, you can write to listener@radiosai.org. You can send us your comments on WhatsApp, 9393-258-258. Once again, 9393-258-258. Thank you so much. Sairam.